Well, please turn with me this morning to the final chapter of the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter number 22. And this morning we are concluding with verses 6 to 21. Thank you for being faithful to the house of God. I trust that you have been encouraged as much as I have by this wonderful book of the Bible. And we could have spent much, much longer on each of these chapters and the verses. But the Lord has worked it all out in His timing. Amen. We'll spend our last Sunday for this year concluding this series. Revelation chapter number 22, verses 6 to the end of the chapter. And let's look at these verses together as I read. Verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren thy prophets and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers, and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the precious Word of God that we have in our hands this morning. Lord, thank you that the truth that we can rejoice in today was the truth that was once given to the saints. Help us, Lord, to hold to the faith of your word. Help us, dear God, to look expectantly to your coming. And Lord, it's not possible for us to review all that we have been challenged by, all that we have learned, all that we have, Lord, being excited about in this special book this morning. Lord, we look to you to give us some final words, to cement in stone in our hearts, Lord, how you would have us to live as we prepare for your soon return. Help us, dear Lord, we pray, to be challenged this morning. Help us, dear Lord, to not soon forget the precious word of God. Help us not to be hearers only, but doers of your word, so that you may be glorified in this place and in this city and through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we reach the end of the book of the Revelations, we have been on an exciting journey. Amen. This indeed has been an amazing book. I trust that you have been blessed and encouraged. If you're reading through the book of the Revelation at this time of the year, at the end of the year, let me encourage you to meditate. Think about these verses. Rethink about the messages and what we have heard and learned. I trust the Lord has given you some more insight, some more blessings as a result. But as we've looked at this wonderful book, the Lord has taken us all the way from the early days of the church, all the way into eternity in the future. The Lord has shown us how the church age will end, has He not? Remember when the Lord said to John, "Come up hither." That was a picture of the rapture. The church age will end with the catching away of His saints, the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And isn't it exciting that no prophecy needs to be fulfilled? No prophecy is in the way. The next event on God's prophetic calendar is the catching away of His precious bride. And that's the exciting time that we live in as Christians. We await the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has shown us the catastrophic judgment that's to come. The Bible describes a 7-year of great tribulation, 7 years of judgment, where billions of lives and souls will be lost in the tragedy of war and disease and God's divine judgment. But remember, during that time, it will also be a wonderful time of salvation. The Bible says that there will be multitudes standing around the throne, worshipping the Son of God, because they were saved during that time. The nation of Israel returned to the Lord. What a wonderful time of salvation that it will also be. Then we beheld the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Remember, Christ is coming to the earth, and He will reign in glory for 1,000 years, and we will be with Him. The Bible says at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan will be thrown into the lake of fire. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Satan will be gone. Sin will be gone. Sorrow will be gone. And just last week, we caught a wonderful small glimpse, just a little small glimpse, of the place that one day we will call home, heaven, where there is no sorrow, where there is no pain, where there is no disease, where there is no sin. Those things shall be no more. And we will stand and serve and rejoice in the wonderful presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And today, we have arrived at the end of the book. Now, before we close this series off, the Lord has a final few words to say to us. This morning's message is entitled, The Final Words of God. And these are it. You go beyond this chapter, and the Word of God ends. You might have an index like I do, but that is it. That is the close of the Word of God. There are no more prophecies. There are no more revelation. There is no more extra books out there in the world for us to try and search out. My friends, this is it. This is the close of the book. And these are the final words of God. Well, three things the Lord wants to share with us this morning. Firstly, a word of comfort. Secondly, a word of challenge. And lastly, a word of caution. Notice, first of all, this morning, God comforts us about the Word of God, about the Bible. Notice in verse number 6. And He said unto me, these sayings are what? Faithful and true. What an encouragement. You know, some of these amazing events in the Bible are almost beyond belief. We might even be tempted to think that these events won't happen, that the Bible is not literally spelling out future events. But what does the Lord Jesus Christ encourage John about? He says that these sayings are faithful and true. You see, all that we have read, all that we have learned this year has not been a lie. It has been the truth. In fact, there isn't one single exaggeration or made up event in this book. It has all been true. In fact, do you remember who the Bible calls the one who is faithful and true. Who is that? That is the title of our precious Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the faithful and true one in Revelation 3 and 19. Well, what does that mean? Friends, look up here. That means the Lord can be trusted. Amen? That means the Word of God can be trusted. That means when God makes a statement, it is always true, 100% of the time. Look, when God makes a promise in His Word, that's the exciting thing about being a Christian. We know that God will always keep His promises. When we pray, we can pray based upon the solid rock of the promises of the Word of God. When we start to get excited about God's promises, let me assure you, we'll start to pray more fervently. Now, when God tells us about the future, when God tells us that prophetic events in this book will happen, they will happen in His timing, but be assured, they will happen to the letter of the Word of God. Many people say that this book is just a book of pictures, of symbolism, and God's Word doesn't mean what He says, what God says it to mean. It's not literal. Let me assure you, yes, there is much symbolism, as we have looked at, but God's Word is true. God is faithful. We can trust in His Word. In fact, God's very integrity, His very name, is tied to the Word of God. I'm sure you're thinking about the verse I've got down in my notes. Psalm 138, verse 2, "For Thou hast magnified Thy Word above all Thy name." You see, God wants us to be comforted this morning that the Scriptures are accurate. When we read about heaven to come, God isn't lying, amen? He's not telling us a fairy tale. No, God is getting excited. In fact, we've just seen a small glimpse of what is to come. We can't even imagine the eternity that awaits us and the joy that we will enjoy. When we read about the literal reality of hell, when we read about the lake of fire, my friends, when God says it is burning with fire and brimstone, when God says then before the millennium, when He cast in the beast and the false prophet, and then 1,000 years later, He cast in Satan, and He said where the beast and the false prophet are, God was telling us that that place is a place of eternal fire. They are still there after 1,000 years. You see, hell is a real place. And as we've learned about hell, it ought to motivate us to tell someone this week about Christ, to tell someone that they can come. They can come and take of the water of life freely. That Christ is the living water. You see, these words are true. God speaks the truth, my friends. And we need to be challenged. We need to be excited. And we need to put down God's Word into our lives. You see, the Scriptures are accurate. Notice they're also our authority. Look at verse number 7. Now, I know it's hot, but don't fall asleep on me this morning. Look at verse number 7. What does the Lord say? "Behold, I come quickly." Now, isn't it true? Time and time again, the Lord reminds us and comforts us and encourages us that He is coming again. He is coming again. And we need to be excited. We need to be prepared. What does the Lord want us to do? Notice the next part of the verse. "Blessed is he that," what's the next word? "Keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." My friends, the Lord calls us to keep the words of this prophecy. Now, if you look up that word "keep," it means to guard. It means to protect. It means to attend to the Word of God carefully. You see, God doesn't want us to soon forget what He has shown us in His Word. In fact, the opposite, He wants us to keep it close to our heart. Now, do you remember the promise and the blessing that He gave in the first chapter of the Bible? The first chapter of this book? Let's go back to Revelation chapter number 1. Do you remember our first message in this series? Notice the promise He gave at the beginning is the same as the promise He gives at the end. Revelation 1, 3. Let's read this verse together out loud, shall we? Revelation chapter 1, verse number 3 on 2. 1, 2. "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Now that is where we drew our yearly theme from. That is the verse of Scripture that God gave to us to focus on this year. And remember, what does God want us to do as we finish this year out? Well, we need to still remember the time is at hand. The Lord is coming, and we are to keep the words of this prophecy. Now, God promises to bless us. God says if we put His Word down into our lives and live out the Word of God, we will be blessed. The same promise at the beginning, back in Revelation 22, please, is the same promise at the end. Let me ask you this morning, how has this blessed book changed your life? How has it encouraged you? How has God stirred your heart up? Maybe you have not yet made any decisions. Maybe you are waiting till the end of the chapter, amen? But let me encourage you, don't wait any longer than today. Let me encourage you to surrender to the Lord. Let me encourage you to do more for the Lord before He comes. You see, the Lord has given us His Word. And it is not a book just to hear about on Sunday mornings, amen? Is that right? You can say amen. God hasn't given us His Word just to hear on Sunday morning. Amen. No, He's given us His Word to read, to meditate in, to apply to our daily lives. That's what it means to keep the words of this prophecy. You see, this is our authority, the Word of God. What an encouraging comfort to John. Now, John has seen a lot. Maybe as you're reading through this book, you're thinking to yourself, this is unbelievable. But God assures us and comforts us that it is the truth, that it is our authority. Now, John, it's wonderful to see that John is just like you and I. He was overwhelmed by all these things. Everything that he saw overwhelmed him so much that what did he do in verses 8 and 9? Look with me there. He fell down to worship the angel. He was so overcome with emotion, overcome with reverence to God, he fell down before the angel. Then the angel reminds him of what we need to be reminded of today, that the Lord alone is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of our worship. As a result of our studies in this book, it ought to have brought us into a closer relationship with the Lord. Remember, the Bible says the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the book that reveals who Christ is. Of course, the whole Bible does, but so does the book of the Revelation. It reveals His glory. It reveals His holiness. It reveals His love. What a wonderful book about a wonderful Savior. Amen. Have you been drawn closer to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been drawn closer to the One who saved your soul? Worthy is the Lamb. Those are the words that will be echoed throughout eternity. And heaven never gets tired of worshipping the Lamb. Amen? Neither should we. He is worthy of our worship. Notice another comfort about the Bible is that the Scriptures are available. What an amazing truth. The Scriptures are available. I'm glad that we don't sit in a church this morning that's a cult where we have the only Bibles in the world and we keep it to ourselves. Amen? Thank God that that's not God's plan and that's not God's program. The Bible tells us that the Scriptures are available. Look with me in verse number 10 of chapter 22. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. You see, John is told not to seal the prophecies. That means John is told not to close the book. Don't close it up. Don't hide it away. Why? Well, we do know when God gave Daniel the prophecies of the end times to come, Daniel was told in chapter 12 and verse 4 to seal up the book, to close the book. You see, the time of those prophecies' fulfillment was not yet. God said that there was much more to happen. Amen? The first coming of Christ was to come. Now, that's another message. Seal the book. There's more to happen. Don't worry about the second coming. You need to look for the first coming. Amen? But you see, Daniel was told to seal the book. Now here John is told, do not seal the book. Why? My friends, because the time is at hand. Because the Lord is coming. Because we need to live motivated by the imminent return of Jesus Christ. The time is at hand. And the book is open. The book is open. Do you realize that we need to be encouraged that God hasn't closed His book? Amen. If someone does not want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, indeed, if they do not want to believe in the words of this blessed book, my friends, the problem is not God and His closed book. The problem is their unbelieving closed heart. That's the problem. Not the Lord. You see, the Lord is merciful. The Lord is loving. He has given us His love letter to show us that He loves us and He wants us to be saved. But you see, it's a closed heart that closes themselves off from the Lord, from His salvation. Let me say this. If you're here this morning and you don't believe in the Word of God, my friend, you've closed your own heart to the Lord. You've closed your own heart to His salvation. You know, there are many so-called teachers out there on the internet that will tell you that this book doesn't say what it means and means what it says. Why? Because they have closed their hearts to God. The Bible later on will see that that's just the very evidence that they are lost in the first place. They've rejected the Word of God. And they want to convince you to do the same. Reject His truth. But you see, God's Word is an open book. Amen. And thank God for that. Amen. And as God's children, what ought we to do? Well, we are to take this open book and to open it to someone in our lives. Amen. We are to take the Word of God and show them that they can come to Jesus Christ, that He invites them to come. We need to take heed to His Word. Let me ask you this morning, is your heart open to the Word of God? Is your heart open to the Word of God? Is this your guiding authority in your life? My friend, if it's not, let me encourage you to get back on track. We need to heed the Word of God because it is faithful and true. And if we are not sure about our salvation this morning, we need to make sure because God has already told us the future. Heaven is coming and it is sweet, and hell is coming and it is hot. And we need to be ready. Our soul needs to be prepared because the time is at hand. The Lord comforts us. Thank God we have a foundation. Thank God we can trust in His Word. Well, we've seen the comfort of the Scriptures. Notice secondly, a challenge about His return. A challenge about His return. Look with me in verse number 12. We'll come back to verse 11 in a moment. Verse 12 says, notice the words once again, and behold, I come quickly. Now, do you think the Lord is trying to get our attention about something in these final words of the Bible? My friends, He is coming. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. Notice a word about His return. A word about His return. The Lord promises us that He is coming again. What did He promise His disciples before He left them? He said, I will come again. What does He promise us at the end of the Bible? Behold, I come quickly. My friends, Jesus Christ is coming again. And don't be confused about the world we live in that is dark, that is lost, that is headed to hell. My friends, we need to be encouraged that Christ is coming again. Amen. We need to be challenged that the Lord is coming. He is coming again. Now, don't be confused also about the false teaching about the Lord's return. Don't forget what we've learnt this year. The Lord's return will happen in two stages. Amen? Two stages. Don't get them confused. The first stage is the rapture, the catching away of the saints in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. You see, the first phase of the Lord's return, He comes in the cloud for His saints. The second stage is His physical return to earth, where He comes to the earth with His saints. But both together represent the second coming of Jesus Christ. First phase is the rapture. The second phase is His return to earth at the end of the tribulation. But don't be fooled, my friends. Christ is coming again. Is it true that we live in a day of scoffers? The Bible tells us. And the Bible says that there will come scoffers in the last days, and they will say, where is the sign of His coming? He's not coming at all. It's a lie. My friends, we've already seen this morning that the Bible is true. The question is, are we ready? You see, Satan doesn't want you to be ready. if you're lost. And if you are a Christian, he doesn't want you to be serving as he comes. Christ is coming. Christ is coming. What a challenge. Are we ready to meet the Lord? Are we ready for his coming? When Christ comes in the air to snatch away his bride from the earth, those who have trusted him as Savior, let me ask you this morning, where will you stand? Will you be left on this earth, lost, to face the catastrophic 7 years of judgment? Or will you be caught up in the air to meet the Lord in the clouds? And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Where will you stand? Do you know with 100% certainty that your sins are forgiven and that your eternity is safe with Jesus Christ? Is he your personal Savior? My friends, this is a word of challenge, not only about his return, but also about his rewards. Notice with me in verse 12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. You see, when the Lord comes again, it will be a time of blessing, but it will also be a time of judgment. A time of blessing when the Lord comes for his saints. You see, when the Lord comes and he brings his reward with him, the Lord is reminding us that he wants to reward us as Christians for our service for him. And that tells us and challenges us that we need to be busy today. You see, when Christ comes, what a thought. I don't know if you thought about it before, but when Christ comes, the time of service is over. All the dreams and all the goals that we might have had for the Lord, and perhaps some ideas that we want to reach our friends and we want to reach our neighbor and we want to do more for the Lord, my friend, that time will end suddenly, quickly. The time to serve him will be gone. And the Bible says that Christ wants to reward his children for their faithful service. He wants to reward us. To many, God will say these words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." God doesn't expect you to be some sort of superhero as a Christian. He wants you to be faithful. Amen? He wants you to stick with the Word of God. Amen? He wants you to stick with the church where God has put you and just simply serve the Lord together. He wants you to take those opportunities and use those talents and gifts that God has already given you. My friends, he has already given us everything we need to earn abundant awards in heaven and to cast them before his feet for his glory. The problem is us. We don't believe the time is at hand. So what do? We sit back. We open up the lazy boy in summer. We turn the air conditioning on and we watch movies. Isn't that right? Yep. Absolutely. Well, Christ is giving us a challenge this morning. Don't spend your summer on the sofa. Amen? There's someone to witness to this week. There's someone the Lord will lead along your path. You see the challenge about his rewards. What a day that will be when Christ comes. We need to be ready for that day. Now, we have not yet arrived at it, but we have this morning. This is a twofold reward. There are rewards for those who are Christians, faithful. Then there are rewards for those who are not saved. What kind of reward will they receive? The Bible says, notice in verse 11, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still." You see, those who are ungodly will reap what they sow. The reward of their sin will be the reward, will be the wages of death. The payment of their sin will be the payment of eternal separation from God forever. The Bible tells us in verse number 15 that those who reject the gospel will have no place in the city of God. Those who reject Jesus Christ, our Savior, will be shut out of heaven in verse 15. The Bible says, "For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." You see, these are those who have rejected Christ. They will be rewarded according to their works. And those who are not under the blood of Christ will be judged and cast into the lake of fire. But those who have received Christ as Savior, whose names are written in the book of life, will receive eternal blessing. Verse 14. And blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. A blessing and a curse. Eternal blessing or eternal judgment. What will it be? Where will we stand? Are we saved this morning? Or are we lost? You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, and he challenges us about his coming this morning, when he comes, the condition that he finds the soul in is the condition of that soul forever. When he comes, the way your soul is when he comes is the way your soul will be for all eternity. There is no second chance. Only in this life is the offer of salvation given. But when Christ comes, he is coming to judge. Will we be rewarded as a Christian? Are we ready? Are we serving? A challenge about his rewards. Jesus is coming. As we've looked at these descriptions here in these verses, be mindful that the only reason those enter heaven and have right to the tree of life is not because they're sinless. It's not because they've never lied. For we are all liars. It's because their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They never repented of their sins and put their faith in Christ as Savior once and for all. They were trusting in their religion. They were trusting in their own good works. They didn't believe in God, perhaps. But my friends, whatever the excuse is, will not hold when Jesus comes again. Have we received him as our personal Savior? A word about his rewards. Notice a word about his rule. Verse 13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. God simply reminds us this morning that what he started, he will finish. Amen. He's the beginning and the end. God created all things and he will bring all things to a conclusion. Just like this blessed book. He is the root and the offspring of David. And you remember the prophecies of his first coming. Humanly speaking, Christ was born in the flesh. And the Bible tells us that God was manifest in the flesh. And he came from the ancestry of King David's royal line. He's the root and offspring of David. He's the root and offspring. He's the bright and morning star. Not only does Christ have all authority, but he has all righteousness and beauty. You know, as we looked last week at heaven, our eternal home, as we looked at the blessings of heaven, do you remember the Bible told us that there is no night there? There is no sun, moon, or stars to light up heaven. Do you remember why? Do you remember what the Lord told us? Because the Lord is the light thereof. Because the glory of the Lord will shine and radiate throughout the universe for all eternity. And the Bible reminds us he is the bright and morning star, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming and he is challenging us to be ready. He will come and reign. He will come and rule. He will come and reward. But we need to be ready, for the time is at hand. These are the closing words of God. Are we listening this morning? Are we listening to what God is saying to us in his word? Where we've seen a word about his return, his rewards, his rule, notice verse 17, a word about his redemption. His redemption. One of our memory verses for this month, the Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Now we know who the Holy Spirit is. That's clear. But have you ever thought about who the bride is? Now, who is our heavenly bridegroom? The Lord Jesus Christ. Let's work backwards. Who is the bride? We are. The saints of God. Remember, we are looking forward to the marriage of the Lamb. When we are united with the Lord Jesus Christ, personally, visibly, physically, passionately, once and for all, forever. We are his bride. And the Bible says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. So the Holy Spirit And God's children on this earth are working together to announce this wonderful word. What is that word? Come. Notice what the Bible says. And let him that heareth say, come. Those who have been invited to come and have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior are also to cry out to others to come. Amen. Notice what the Bible says. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. My friends, God is challenging us once again in these last words of the Bible, in these final words of God. He's inviting sinners to come. He's inviting souls to be saved. Can you see the love of God this morning? Can you see the long-suffering of the Lord? He hasn't finished His work of salvation. The time is at hand, but more so, the time is at hand to be saved. Let me ask you this morning, has there been a time that you received Jesus Christ as Savior? Remember in the book of John, He says, I am the living water. Now on a hot day after this morning's service, and you have a moment to have a nice cold drink, let me guarantee you, you will know what you're doing and you will know what happens when you have a drink. Amen? You're not going to forget what you're doing. You're not going to be confused about it. My friends, the same is about salvation. In fact, more so, the Bible says, when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the living water springs up within us into eternal life. God does a work in our lives to change us so that we are no longer what we once were. Yes, we do grow as Christians, but my friends, if all we have is just a date written on a piece of paper and a prayer that we prayed, and we are still stuck in the same sins and we are no closer to our wonderful Lord Jesus than we ever were, my friends, there's a problem. Maybe when we heard the word come, we just came to the front, but we didn't come to Christ. Maybe when we heard the word come, we thought the pastor was just saying, just pray with me and you'll be right. My friends, the pastor can't save us. I can't save you. We can pray together if you like. But if you don't mean it in your heart, your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And look, I don't know where your heart is this morning, but I guarantee you, God knows, and so do you. Don't miss the second one. God knows, and so do you. Maybe you've been here in this church this year and you've had that sick feeling in the pit of your stomach, the Holy Spirit of God showing you, declaring to you time after time after time that there's a problem, that you're not saved, that you haven't come to Christ. See, everyone wants to go to heaven. Isn't that what we learnt last week? Everyone wants a heaven, but the Lord Jesus Christ is not heaven's real estate agent. He didn't come here to sell us heaven. Heaven is our eternal home once we have Jesus Christ, but He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And we are the lost ones. We are sinners that deserve to go to hell forever. And He has come to save us, to forgive us once and for all, to give us a new life in Christ. But have you come? Have you come to Christ? This is the final challenge of God and the final words of God. Don't wait any longer than this morning. Let me beg you this morning. Don't wait any longer. If you're not sure, share that with someone this morning. Share that with the person that brought you. Or come and talk to someone in the church this morning. Let them know that you need to make sure about your salvation. Let them know the questions that you have. You see, whosoever will, the Bible says. God is inviting us to come. If we seek, we will find. Amen. But the choice is up to us. If we realize we're lost and our lives bear every evidence of wickedness and the world and sin, if that's where we are, God is calling us to come. Amen. To come to Him. To come and be saved. To be washed clean in the precious blood of the Lamb, the living water that is Jesus Christ. Amen. Are we cleansed from our sin? Are we saved? A word about his redemption. Redemption. Now, some people criticize the preacher and say, Pastor, you're always preaching about salvation. Can you see that it's the Lord that's preaching about salvation? We can't escape these passages where God stops and suddenly says, hang on a second, Those who are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life won't be in heaven. Why does God say that? Because these are the last words of God. And if our soul is not saved, we are in mortal danger, eternal danger. And Christian, let me say this as a challenge to us. Whosoever will may come. The Spirit and the Bride. That's you and I. Amen? The Bride. We are to work with the blessed Holy Spirit of God to call others to come. But the question is, are we allowing Him to use us? Are we allowing Him to empower us, to fill us with His Spirit each day? Are we walking with the Lord? Are we being faithful to the Word of God? Are we seeking to please the Lord and live holy lives? Are we saying no to sin? Are we being a vessel unto honour? Are we seeking to please the Lord, to be used of the Lord? You see, God wants to use us. This is His plan of redemption, amen? What a privilege. What a joy that God wants to use you and me this week to invite someone to come. Now, regardless of whether they take that invitation, it doesn't matter. Amen? Doesn't matter in respect of our witness. We need to keep going. Keep witnessing. Till when? Till Christ comes again. Isn't that what the Bible says? The time is at hand. We need to invite souls to come. A word of comfort, a word of challenge, and lastly, a word of caution. Now, are you still awake this morning? All right. I'm trying to keep it within an hour. But we don't want to underdo God's word. Notice a word of caution is the last lesson we learn. A word of caution about this prophecy. Notice verses 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Now, how many of you believe that God is serious about messing with His word? Amen. How many of you believe that this morning? My friends, God is serious. And God means business. Notice the next verse. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now stop for a moment. God is not saying you can have your name written in the book of life and then it can be taken out. That somehow you can be saved and lose your salvation. Now, when you come to a verse of Scripture that seems to contradict another verse, you need to make sure you base your convictions and faith on what the Bible proves and declares plainly to be true. Amen? The verse in these Scriptures is not saying that if you tamper with God's Word, you'll lose your salvation. No, God is saying if someone adds to the Word of God in order to corrupt it, or someone takes away from the Word of God in order to change it, then they're giving the very evidence that their name was never written in the book of life, that they were never saved, that they are lost, that they are perishing. Notice in verse number 18, a warning not to add. Well, who do we see adding to the Word of God? I remember I grew up as a Catholic. I was in a Catholic church, and you know what? I was told everything but the gospel. How I can be saved. How I can have my sins forgiven. Everything but. I was told I had to keep the sacraments. I was told I had to pray to Mary. I was told I had to confess my sins to the priest. And you know what? After I read the Bible a little bit, by God's grace, I learned that those things are not in there. What has the Catholic Church done? They've added to the Word of God, giving the very evidence that their teachings are not from God. Now, no wonder the charismatic and ecumenical churches in the world today are holding hands with Rome tonight, this morning. No wonder they're holding hands with Rome more than ever, because that's just what the charismatic church does also. Someone stands up in the church and starts to speak, claiming they have a new revelation from God. Hey, the Pope does that too. I've got some more messages from God that are not in the Bible. Charismatics do that. Stand up. Here's some new prophecy. My friends, these are the final words of God. There is no more. There is nothing else to add. Thank God He speaks to us afresh each day through His Word. Thank God we can never explore the full depths of the love of Christ in His Word. But there are no more words to add. Amen? And God is saying we need to be careful in what we do with His Word. Not to add to it. Not to take away from it. Notice verse 19. Not to take away from the Word of God. Well, what do we see in the world today? My friends, we see the emerging church. We see modernism, do we not? Taking away from the Word of God. Coming out with new versions that have verses missing. That have taken out verses about salvation. Why do we use the King James Bible, amen? Because we love old English? Because we go home and dress like we were born in the 1600s, the 1500s? Because we love that kind of time period? No. Because this is the Word of God, faithfully translated from the original manuscripts. The new versions are not. They are translated from perverted manuscripts written by unsaved people that have taken verses out of the Bible. Some of us don't even know that. So what do we use at home? Corrupt versions. And we see verses of salvation taken out. You know, they're taking out verses about sodomy today. Out of the Bible. To prove that God has no problems with homosexuality. Yes, He does. In fact, He has a greater problem with people who take truths out of the Bible. There are apostates today that change everything about what we've learnt this year. About the book of the Revelation. Some say we are in the millennium. Some say Christ is ruling and reigning on earth right now, and Satan is bound, chained in the lake, in the bottomless pit. Let me ask you this morning, is that the reality that you see around you? No. Missionary, is that what you see? No. In the mission field, that Satan is bound? Absolutely not. Satan is like a roaring lion today, seeking whom he may devour. No way. So we need to be careful what we do with the Word of God. We need to be careful about what we believe. We need to be careful about what I say. Amen. I'm not always right. Check the Scriptures to see if it be true. Amen. We need to be careful not to add, not to take away. And let me say this personally in closing, for us as a church, what have we done with what God has told us this year? Amen? Are we taking God's Word seriously? Because God does, doesn't He? What a challenge. What a caution. A closing word of caution. Are we just picking and choosing what we want to know and what we want to live out from this book? I have to admit, those first seven letters to the churches were the hardest messages to preach. Yes, it was terrible to preach through the tribulation. But oftentimes that did not convict us as much as Christ speaking to our church today. What have we done with those truths? Are we still lukewarm about the Lord? What a rebuke. Are we still meddling with worldliness, the doctrine of Balaam? Are we still tampering and playing with false teaching that will come into the church and corrupt it? Or are we serving the Lord more? Amen? Do you remember the faithful witnesses in Smyrna? Do you remember the ones that gave their lives? Do you remember Antipas, the faithful martyr, who gave his life for the cause of the gospel? Are we a more passionate witness today as a result of the Word of God? Or have we forgotten? You see, we need to be cautioned as well. Because as Christians, if we haven't taken heed to the Word of God, if it's just gone in one ear and out the other, we too are in trouble. We cannot lose our salvation, praise God. But we can lose our purpose in life. We can lose the joy of Christ in life. We can be empty within. And we can be in a whole heap of mess if we don't heed to the Word of God. A closing word of caution. Church family, don't add to it. Don't take it away from it. Amen. Just believe it. Just believe it. Just preach it. Amen. Just teach what God says. I'm thankful you don't need a PhD to serve God. Amen. Just need to declare His Word. Tell it like it is. faithful. Live it. As we close this morning, as we close this book, after seeing all these exciting things, no wonder in verse 20 we find John, after all that he has seen and heard, after all that has moved him, no wonder we find him at the end of verse 20 praying, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." I asked myself this question this morning. When was the last time I prayed that prayer? "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." To be honest, I often don't pray that prayer because I'm not ready. I'm saved, but I know in my heart of hearts, the Lord still has work to do. I still want to do more for the Lord. There's still more I'm not doing for the Lord. There's still more I want to learn about the Lord before He comes. I hope this morning you don't want to be ashamed at His coming. But are we ready to pray that prayer? "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Are we looking forward to the rapture? The Bible says if our hearts are right with the Lord, in verse 21, we can experience His grace. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." And you see, that's the grace of God, living expectantly for His coming. You know, when we face trials, when we face discouragements, when we face setbacks, God wants to revive us by the fact that He is coming again. Amen. And the rapture is on its way. Any moment the Lord will appear in the clouds, and we ought to be excited. In fact, we ought to be living victorious Christian lives, because this world is not our home. Heaven is awaiting, and we ought to do more and be more for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming. That's His grace. Are you ready for heaven? Are you ready for heaven? As we conclude, the final words of God, are you ready? Are you sure about your salvation? If you were to die right now, do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you would be standing in front of the Lord, walking upon streets of gold with Him forever? If you have a doubt, that's good. Let me encourage you to make sure of your salvation today. And encourage you, don't sit there and wait for next year. Forget what the Lord has shown you. Make sure today. Now, if you are saved, if you are a Christian, let me ask you this morning, are your bags packed? Some of us are packing our bags to go on a little trip away this holiday. But spiritually, are our bags packed? Amen. Now, if they're packed, what are we packing them with? Are we taking ashes to heaven, as we've said before? Is my bag full of ashes? Things of this world that will burn up at the feet of Jesus Christ that mean nothing in eternity, that you and I are spending all of our time on. The vanity of this world, the pleasures of this world, wood, hay and stubble. Or are our bags heavy, amen, with gold, silver and precious stones? What are we taking to heaven? Amen? Amen. They'll be opened up there. But we should know down here. Are we serving the Lord? Well, let me say this. Let's serve the Lord more. Amen. Let's serve the Lord more. Let's get more ready. Let's walk in His grace. You see, John was ready. That's why he could pray this prayer. So let's take his word and put it down into our lives and be ready. For the time is at hand. The time is at hand. What will you do with the word of God this morning? Can we pray, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus"? Now, if we really can't, then let's make some decisions this morning.